Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good Friday morning. Welcome in. A little wet out there this morning as some rain has moved through overnight. In fact, I drove down here in some pretty driving rain, but it looks like within the next hour or maybe hour and a half, most of this is going to have moved to the east of the central St. Louis region. So I'm kind of hopeful for that. I'm supposed to participate in an event with the Eureka Chamber of Commerce a little bit later today, and it looks like it's going to be perfect temperatures. If that rain just moves out of here when it looks like it will on the map, then we're going to be in beautiful shape for that fundraiser for the Eureka Chamber of Commerce down at St. Louis Skeet and Trap today. Should be a lot of fun. So hopefully you got some plans and they won't get ruined by any weather. If you're a Blues fan, you're celebrating this morning. You're probably, if you're like me, Kim, you're probably asking yourself, where the hell did all those goals come from?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah, 7-2.
Wow. That was
a good win. What time did the game end? Does anyone know?
I don't know. My daughter had her debut play last night at her school, and it went from 7 until 9:30. I didn't get out of that till 9:30, and didn't get to bed till after 10. So I didn't get to watch any of the Blues game.
I didn't see any of it.
And it started late anyway, so it didn't start till after 8.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure. Or maybe closer to 9, I don't know.
It said 8:30, but then every time we'd talk to Tom Ackerman, he'd say, well, the puck will actually drop closer to 8:45, maybe even 9.
Well, they needed that win, and maybe Tom knew something we didn't. He knew they'd be fired up at home. Now they got to get another one.
And Sunday is their big game, and it's not a late game. It's at noon on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So I'm assuming that last night was sold out. I don't think people, at this point, with the playoffs in St. Louis, I don't think people care if it's a late start.
Yeah, it's been a few years, and I'm sure they were fired up to see a playoff victory last night. So congrats to all the Blues fans. Congrats to the Blues. And let's keep this ball rolling for as long as we possibly can. They had to win last night. They got to win again Sunday, I would think. I mean, you don't want to have to go back to Winnipeg after the success they've had up there without this thing tied, for sure. So that what we have done there in about, I don't know, 45 seconds is exhaust my knowledge of hockey. I can report to you the score. I can't explain why sometimes they score 7 goals and sometimes they're limited to 1. I don't know.
That's like the Cardinals, though. Sometimes they're whooped, and then other times they're just killing it.
But they were on it last night. Whatever it was that it took to motivate them, it happened last night, and we're happy for them. So, absolutely. So, I don't know if you've been listening overnight, but there are talks of Iranian nuclear deal talks going on in Washington, D.C., and this has kind of rattled things up there because people are so distracted by tariffs and Ukraine and China and all this other stuff that they're not paying a lot of attention to what's going on I heard Donald Trump joke yesterday, I might be in line for the Nobel Peace Prize. I should have gotten it for the Abraham Accords. If he pulls this off, it'll be amazing. People are already trying to poo-poo it because they're asking what's the difference between this and what Obama tried to do. Well, Obama funded a terrorist state in return for a deal that never guaranteed there wouldn't be nuclear weapons in Iran. It's very weak. And my guess is what will come out of this will be very different. We got Jim Carafano on, as we always do on a Friday. So he's our guy. He is the national security foreign policy expert from Heritage. And we'll get to pick his brain over this one today. I'm glad about that as well. We're also going to talk about the latest information. We had a little bit of an update on this from Griff yesterday. That is the what more they're finding out about this Garcia guy, the Maryland man, who's actually an El Salvadorian man, who's back in his home country now. But we're finding out more and more about what all he might have been involved in when he was here. And it's looking worse and worse for the Democrats, who are trying to hoist this guy onto their shoulders as a gleaming example of somebody who should be kept in the United States. To see, I guess, what other havoc he can wreak while he's here. I don't know. It just none of it makes any sense. And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. The worse it looks for them, for sure. I think today, Kim, if I saw this correctly, I think is today the final day that the Pope is lying in state. I think the president leaves this morning at
funeral is tomorrow.
Yeah, the president leaves this morning about 8. To fly to Rome, where they will attend the funeral services tomorrow. I think they're, 7 or 8 hours ahead of us?
Yeah. So, I saw people have been getting pushback online because they are, you know, thousands of people have been lining up to see him. And people are taking selfies, smiling and stuff. And you can see.
Really? The body in the background?
The body in the background. Mm-hmm.
Does
it really
sick.
Surprise you at this point? No, but it's still like, really? Come on. You didn't think that? You thought that was a good idea?
I've seen over the years lots of things that are in poor taste. And a lot of them involved people going to funerals where there's an open casket and taking pictures. With their argument being, well, it's the last time I'm going to see my loved one. No, that's not what you want to remember. In my opinion, I mean, I don't know.
That's why, actually, I'm not a huge fan of open casket. It doesn't usually look like the person.
No.
I don't need to get down that road. It didn't consider it that they're sitting here smiling, taking selfies like it's some tourist attraction that they're going to instead of watching some man lie in his casket. Yeah, I don't know. It's just
I always worry about at events like this, and maybe it's because I've read too many spy novels at this point. They're estimating there will be 200,000 people in St. Peter's Square around in the Vatican for this funeral service. Obviously not inside where it's happening, but right. Outside in St. Peter's Square. And that just things like that worry me for some bunch of radicals who are looking to cause problems with something. I'm sure security is going to be a major issue. A bunch of world leaders are going to be there. It just seems like a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. All right, Ethan Bright, let's get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Why are you not putting more pressure on Russia? I know a lot of Europeans...
Putting a lot of pressure. You don't know what pressure I'm putting on Russia. They're dealing. You have no idea what pressure I'm putting on Russia. We're putting a lot of pressure...
Yeah, that's a really stupid question. Of course they're putting a lot of pressure on Russia. I saw the True Social post yesterday where the president is upset with the most recent bombing that's happening over there. And the longer they drag this out, the worse it's going to get.
Spokesperson for China's foreign ministry saying that as far as he knows, China and the United States have not held any consultations or meetings or negotiations on tariffs. And we should note that the communist Chinese government has a long history of lying.
Really? Is this an epiphany for Jake Tapper who would look for any reason to call something Donald Trump said fake news, and he's finally calling the Chinese out for it?
Look, I've gone after anti-Semitism at universities. So have the other signers of our letter. We don't like it. But they're not acting on good faith at all. They're acting in a lawless, reckless, vicious way.
Yeah. Of course, that's Chuck Schumer, because you recognize his voice there. But what a joker. When he looks at these campuses where people of his faith are getting screamed at, stuff's thrown at them, they're getting attacked in some cases, and he's mad at Donald Trump's response to it.
St. Louis University's president Fred Pestello joins more than 300 higher education presidents in a letter condemning the Trump administration.
Yeah. In stories that shouldn't surprise anyone, St. Louis University and 300 other schools that suckle on the taxpayers' teat until they have sore-chapped nipples are upset that Donald Trump is threatening to withhold funds from them if they don't crack down on anti-Semitism.
They said it was incredible government overreach.
Yeah.
Was the wording in the letter.
I saw one that claimed it was violating the First Amendment, what he was trying to do. I didn't know universities and governments had a First Amendment right. I know individuals do, for sure. Your right to express yourself or to swing your fist ends at the other person's nose. There's serious damage being done here to people of the Jewish faith in particular when major universities won't step in and do something about this. I think they're all shell-shocked. They don't know what else to do, but this weak-kneed Fred Pestello, who's been at SLU for a long time, I saw the memos that they sent out to the future leaders, lawyers, politicians, judges of the world going through law school back in 2016 when Donald Trump became president. They sent out emails telling people they had set up safe spaces in the law school across the street from this radio station. That's how pathetic that university has become and the leadership at that university. It is pathetic that you're expecting to be tomorrow's judges and prosecutors are so weak of spirit and mind that they need a safe space when somebody gets elected who they disagree with. This is the generations of people now that have been coming through these universities and having their minds warped by people like Fred Pestello. I'm sorry. I hope Trump hits all of them until they agree that they're not going to suffer anti-Semitism on their campuses. Period. End of discussion. They wouldn't allow discrimination against any other group, but they're targeting Jewish people. It's disgusting. Is what it is. All right. A quick break here. And Ethan, who's bringing us our national anthem on this Friday?
Well, I let Kim pick, actually, and she picked the Fray.
All right.
Washington State's Covenant Homeownership Program provides down payment and closing cost assistance for lower-income, first-time homebuyers. Lawmakers created the program to address the disproportionate impacts of racial redlining in Washington State. House Bill 1696 modifies the program by adjusting the area median income threshold for program eligibility, introducing loan forgiveness, and modifying the Oversight Committee membership.
Yeah, that's a long way of saying they're giving reparations to people in Washington State in a bill signed by the crazy left-wing Governor Bob Ferguson yesterday. It is a new equity movement is what they're calling it. And Kim, do you want to guess what this thing does? You just take a wild stab. Now if you're not on a list of what they perceived to be minorities don't bother applying. They're going to give people $130,000.
Oh my gosh.
To go buy homes.
What do you have to prove? Like, because remember when they were talking about that in St. Louis, they were throwing around ideas like you have to prove direct lineage and it has to be within a certain number of generations.
All in order to qualify, in addition to being a member, you have to be Black, Hispanic, you have to be something other than white. You have to prove that you were either a resident of Washington before 1968 or you had a relative who lived in Washington before 1968.
Why that date? Does it specify?
Because they apparently have some belief that there was redlining that went on and didn't let certain ethnicities buy in certain areas. And because of that, they have been generationally robbed. And therefore, you and I, you weren't even alive then. Mm-hmm. I was 4 years old. You and I are on the hook as taxpayers, if we lived in Washington State, for making good on the ills of our ancestors. So you would go pay your taxes to the state of Washington. They're going to take $130,000 of that and give it to the great-grandchild or grandchild of somebody who might have been affected by this prior to 1968.
How much do they think this is going to cost the city? How many people would qualify for this?
I don't know if they put a dollar amount on it, but people are going to flood in and do this. What it is reparations. We're going to use the same system that enabled prejudice and bias in home ownership to help people obtain houses. It's about revenge. It's exactly what it is, and they're going to take a pound of your flesh if you live in Washington State. I bet there'll be lawsuits over this. I don't see how this stands, but we'll see how that goes. We're going to get to Kim on a whim when we come back. Stay tuned.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
I don't know how many of you still use Uber or Lyft. I used to use it all the time, especially when I lived in Nashville. Maybe a little bit when I lived in the Central West End, but I haven't used it in quite some time. But I know they're very, very popular, especially if you're, say, going to a Blues game or a Cardinals game and you don't want to have to deal with parking, leaving your car down here, or you're right, going to a concert. It's very popular, which is why they know they can spike the rates and charge you a lot more because of the popularity of them.
Well, Uber, dynamic pricing, isn't that what they call it?
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Surge pricing. But we call it surge pricing. They might call it dynamic, whatever they want to go with to make it sound better. Well, Uber's not happy at all about this bill that's making its way through Colorado and its legislature, because it would force major changes on these rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft. And I want to play for you, this is from one of the local news stations out of Colorado, talking about what this bill would do.
House Bill 1291 would require stricter safety measures for rideshare drivers, including mandatory dash cameras, audio recordings of rides, and a ban on driving after using marijuana. The proposal also includes increased driver accountability standards. An Uber spokesperson raised concerns about legal liability, saying the bill could make the company responsible for even minor driver actions, such as offering a passenger a water bottle.
Which is why Uber's saying, if you pass this bill, we're leaving the state of Colorado.
So this has got nothing to do with the pricing. It's just standards for what has to happen in the car.
Right. The lawmaker in Colorado who is backing this bill, she says that not that long ago, within the last couple of years, she was a victim of sexual assault by a Lyft driver. So she's trying to increase safety, really, she says, for everyone, but in particular, the passengers.
Is she asking for money out of this?
Not that I'm aware of. I can completely get on board with you shouldn't be able to drive after smoking weed. That should be obvious. The audio recording, you know, I don't agree with that having to be a requirement. In fact, Uber supposedly, and I didn't know this until I was watching some of these stories, but Uber supposedly already offers a feature for riders where you can start a recording if you're worried about your safety.
Right.
So it's not necessary to force it on everybody, especially Lyft, which I don't think does this. The water thing is weird. So basically they're saying you wouldn't even be able to offer your passenger water or food. So if they're like choking or something, you're not able to help them. Because some of the people, the drivers, the cars I've been in, they'll have packs of gum. They would have snacks and water bottles because they're trying to up their score. Because when you get out of your car, you know, ask how your ride was and you can give them up to, I think, 5 stars. And if you offer people food and water, whatever, you're more likely to get a higher rating.
I can see that. I think that the ride share idea is fantastic. I haven't taken a taxi cab in years. I can't remember the last time I took a taxi cab. I'll just default to Uber or Lyft or whichever one is least expensive at that moment in time, because the dynamic pricing thing does piss me off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's, I'm not going to pay $99 to drive from downtown to my house just because there's an event going on. That's stupid. They're pricing themselves out of the market. Although there must be drunks who are willing to pay that because they get away with it.
Cheaper than a DWI,
But it's true. But I think they've gone to pretty good lengths to protect their drivers with video in the cars and, you know, some assurance that the person you're picking up is the one that ordered the ride. And there's only so far you can take that. I don't know how much more the state needs to step in on that.
They're also worried, though, about the passenger. She was a passenger, the lawmaker was, in a Lyft, and says she was the victim of a sexual assault.
By the driver?
By the driver.
Well, that's a personal, I mean, how can Lyft and Uber, like anybody can sign up for this. I don't know to what extent they do a background check on you or what all they do when you sign up to be in Lyft. But you know, somebody is not a criminal until they commit a crime the first time. I don't know how you can hold the company accountable for that. How are they supposed to know that was going to happen?
Well, I agree.
How would this bill help that?
Well, that's exactly what Uber was saying, is they're saying that they already have safety measures in place for the driver and the rider. And they, like I said, they offer you the option to record a trip, and that this threatens privacy and offers no clear safety benefit. I mean, Lyft doesn't like it either, but they're not going as far as to say, hey, we'll potentially leave the state if you do this. I mean, a lot of people have left their jobs or they supplement their income by doing this. I mean, you could make, if you're driving consistently, I'm pretty sure you could make a decent amount of money if you're making longer trips. And I know a lot of people I've heard will make money just driving people to and from the airport. You know, businessmen and women who are going on these trips in the morning,
sure,
at, you know, 7 a.m.
There's a time in America where people used to hitchhike. Then it became a bad idea because they told you shouldn't get in the car with a stranger. Now we order cars from strangers to come to our house and pick us up.
That's a weird concept.
It is a weird concept. But I think that said, the joke aside, that the companies have already taken quite a few steps to make that as safe a transaction as possible. And if it was a major problem, the public pressure, the perception would stop people from whipping out their phone and ordering an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Like if my perception was I might get sexually assaulted if I get in that Uber, you're not going to do that anymore. So I don't think, I think they need to allow the market pressure to affect that. And if it gets to be a bigger problem, yes, but to take one isolated incident like that and change state law over it just because she happens to be a lawmaker. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking away from what happened to her. I just don't know that it's a widespread problem. I think generally speaking, the drivers are at a greater risk than the passengers, because I've talked to a number of people, including one of our former producers who used to drive all the time. And had people getting in the back of the car that had guns. And, I mean, this is prior to them requiring video and all the other stuff. This was 8 or 10 years ago, right when the whole thing first started. I think they've dramatically improved security in these private car rides. I just don't know how far you need to go.
I would think that if anyone was in danger, like you said, it would be the driver.
Yes.
There are these isolated incidents, like with this lawmaker who says she was sexually assaulted last year by the Lyft driver. But it just doesn't seem like it's widespread enough, even though it's traumatic. The legal liability that these companies, these rideshare companies would have is crazy. And let's just say that Uber does pull out or and doesn't want to be in the state anymore, which I can't blame them because they would then be liable for every dumb thing. Like I said, if they found out that some rider or driver rather offered a rider a bottled water, that would technically be in violation of this. And then what? They'll sit there and they'll blame the company.
Yeah.
They can't afford to take that on.
Well, but here's the problem. Just like in Washington State, Colorado is now a state filled and controlled by the progressive left. So they'll do whatever they want to do. There's probably no way to stop it.
Well, think about other states, though. Even in Missouri, we talk all the time about how we have a super majority and there should be so many things we should be able to get across the finish line.
The common
no
sense
problem.
Things.
And they just don't happen.
Yeah. Well,
so, this might be happening right now in Colorado, but let's not think that this couldn't happen elsewhere, including in certainly Illinois, but maybe in Missouri.
Good for Uber. The cab drivers are applauding. They're hoping this thing passes.
Yeah.
So that these rideshare companies pull out of the state. But when all of those business people in Denver and Boulder and the other places suddenly can't get an Uber anymore, this is going to turn around quickly on those state legislators.
Yeah, and people will lose money because a lot of people use this as income. They do this as a side hustle. Maybe they work a part-time job and then they do this on the weekend or, well, because of inflation. I don't know. Maybe they're doing this on the weekend in general, even with a full-time job, just hoping to make a little bit of extra money. I've heard people who will do something like Uber or Lyft or Uber Eats or something like that, and say, hey, any of the money that I make from this specifically goes to, a vacation that I have coming up, or they'll allocate it to something specific.
Yes. Well, I'd love to know if they actually carry through with it. I just can't imagine them doing that, but maybe they will.
We'll see.
We will see. Food for thought. I don't want them taking my Uber away. That's for sure. When I need it, when you need it, you need it. And I find myself using it a lot more when I'm traveling. To other cities.
Oh, for sure. When I'm traveling, I definitely use
absolutely. It. Absolutely. It's just so much, just so convenient these days. Coming up in the next hour, we got to look at the business this morning. And, the stock market's kind of been up. It's been down. I think you're starting to see daylight on the other side of this tariff issue. There have been 80 or 90 countries that have now reached out to Washington to negotiate on these tariffs. That's a win. That is a win, and people just need to be patient. We're going to talk more about that for you coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
To my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away?
Yeah, welcome back. Got one of our listeners pretty riled up the other day. I don't know if you saw this on the Facebook page there, Kim, but Jill got very angry at us because we showed disrespect to people who are addicted to marijuana, use it, smoke it all the time, because I joked about it the other day. And she read me the Riot Act on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Said that I don't understand it. I don't know. I will 100% stand by my belief, because the minute I criticize pot smoking, somebody goes, well, you love your bourbon. You talk about bourbon all the time. I don't know about you. I've been drinking bourbon, alcohol, other things for many years, potentially a year or two earlier than I legally should have. And I have never, it has not led me to do cocaine or crack or any variety of other issues. But I do know a lot of examples where that's been the case with people who are stoned. And I believe, and there are studies to back this up, including from the National Institutes of Health, that it's a gateway drug. I believe that. I believe it lowers your inhibitions and encourages harder drug use. I think that's the case. I'll continue. I said it before they legalized it. I said that legalizing it is a disaster. We had judges on here. We had the sheriffs on here from Colorado and other states where they'd already made that horrible mistake. And it, it, they're there's plenty of evidence to back it up that it was a that it, it raises the increase of car accidents because people drive stoned because there's no repercussions for it. The way the law was written in Missouri, a police officer can no longer walk up to your car, smell pot, and have a reason to search your car or suspect you of driving while stoned. That's just kind of how the law was written. Mm-hmm. That, to my knowledge, although they were working on it, I don't think there's a breathalyzer test they can take to determine if you're under the influence. And every single day as I drive home from this radio station, if it's decent enough weather that I can roll the windows down or if I've got the vent on, I suddenly smell either boiled cabbage, a skunk, or somebody getting stoned. I can usually eliminate the first two, so it's people driving down the road, getting stoned, mm-hmm. and you just smell it everywhere. It's ever present around St. Louis. Now, everywhere you go, and what? Well, it's legal. Well, yeah, it's legal, but like I can't drive down the road drinking a bottle of bourbon because I'm going to get arrested for DWI and thrown in jail. There's not equal enforcement. There's so many problems with this. Plus, you've now given the green light to a new younger generation of children who see it as there's absolutely no problem. Mm-hmm. And it is a drug that is 10 times, maybe a 20 times stronger than anything your parents did when they were in college 30 years ago. It has dangerous side effects, and I don't think I'm going to convince a single person to change their mind by saying this, but I'm going to argue with people like Jill who got angry with me and accused me of being disrespectful to people who can't get through their day every day without getting stoned. I'm sorry. I think it's addictive, and I think it is a gateway drug.
I voted against it. I don't support it. I think that, yeah, it's gotten too lackadaisy. Like, I'll walk through Target out close to where I live, and you're taken aback because someone just reeks of it. Mentioned the time when I was in Build-A-Bear at the West County Mall, and a family walked in, and I'm like, whoa, I clearly know what you guys were doing before you walked into Build-A-Bear with all the children. That's really nice. I see a lot of problems with it. It's all about money. We know that whole industry is so lucrative, which is why they did it.
That's why they did it.
And there is a breathalyzer that will test THC levels. In fact, I know a couple years ago, at least, maybe even more than that, there was at least one department out west, one police department that had tried to start using these breathalyzers. I don't know how effective they are, if they're still in
use.
I'm
sure there are legal challenges to them.
I'm sure.
Of course.
Well, and I mean, think about if you're pulled over on suspicion of a DWI, you could say, hey, I'm refusing to blow. They always say, like, you know, don't blow. And then you get arrested. Right. And then I've never been arrested for this, but you would go to the police station and get your blood drawn to still test your blood alcohol content. But the idea I've heard is, well, you're giving it more time to get out of your system. So I assume you could do the same, but if a cop pulls you over, and maybe your cop friends listening can clarify this for us. If they pull you over and think you're high, they can't say, hey, I want you to use this, even if they had one of those like THC detector breathalyzers, could they force you to do it? I assume just like a DWI, you could say, no, I refuse to do that. Turn down all sobriety tests.
I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to check with some of them and see. Here's the thing about it. Am I in denial that alcohol is abused? Of course not. The number of DWIs has certainly dropped through the years as people have become more aware of not drinking and driving. And I've seen billboards that say if you smoke, don't drive. But do you notice anybody paying any attention to that? Because there's no enforcement of it. It's just brought on a litany of problems that were unnecessary for people who can't make it through the day without some sort of a substance in their body. And now it's going to basically encourage children to do the same thing because they know that society has blessed it. And I think it was a huge mistake, and I'm not going to back off of that for for even a minute. That's just my opinion. I don't. It's legal now. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. But I am going to point out the truth about it being a gateway drug to a harder drug issues for a number of people. I do honestly believe that is an issue. I think there's no doubt about that. All right. There's been some good news. When it comes to maybe the state education board, there was a pressure campaign to keep a pretty liberal left-wing person off of the state education board, and it might have been successful. I'm going to bring you more on that story here coming up right after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.